Welcome to episode number one of Stealing and Dealing, the Georgia High School Basketball Podcast. As you may know, I'm Kyle Sandy, the owner of SandySteel.com. With me today is Ramin Forgani, my producer and moderator of the podcast. Ramin, the people know about me. I want you to introduce yourself, so go ahead and take the floor.
I appreciate it, Kyle. Thank you for having me on and helping you in this new endeavor. My name's Ramin Forgani. I'm a editor of the sports journalism program here at Northview High School. We're doing a lot of covering of sports at our school here locally, trying to broadcast, do some social media outreach, now multimedia with the podcast and on our website. So I'm really excited to be here and help you get the show started, cover some basketball with you, Kyle. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. It's going to be fun. What do you think we should start with? You're the man with the plan here.
I think we should go right into your boys' rankings. You release them every Sunday night. I know you spend a lot of time on them, so let's see why you rank the teams where you rank them.
All right. I'll try and break it down for you. As we all know, in Class 7A, there is a juggernaut behemoth that people outside of the state of Georgia might not really know about, but they do know about them now since they're ranking that Max Preps Top 25, and that is the Newton Rams. Undefeated, they took care of business on MLK Day, beat Spartanburg Day with Zion Williamson. They smoked them 96-75, and they rallied them down 11 at the half against Southwest Atlantic Christian to score an 82-73 win. And then on Tuesday, we'll talk about Tuesday night's action later in the show, they really hammered a good, talented Grayson team in Region 8 play. Number two, McEachern, we know about them, another undefeated team in the class of 7A, very talented, a lot of juniors, sophomores, and a couple of freshmen playing important roles. The most interesting movement we saw came because of seven teams from last week's poll. Seven teams in Class 7A lost, so that led to a lot of very interesting shuffling around. A couple teams that aren't those blue bloods that you expect to see in the poll every single week. And those teams that made appearances are number 10, Roswell, number 9, Lambert, and the most surprising, number 6, Lowndes. That Lowndes team, they knocked Tift County out of the poll with a 60-58 win at the Palace down in Tift County, which is a huge result for them. And they skyrocket up to number 6, which is something very interesting. I guess we'll probably have to touch on that a little later. I'm sure you got some questions about Lowndes, but Lowndes coming in at number 6 ahead of Berkmar and Wheeler. Wheeler, number 8, had a very disappointing 56-36 loss to Greensboro Day at the Peachtree Corners Invitational at Norcross High School. They were held to 3 points in the first quarter, and that's tough to stomach when you have legitimately 5 Division I guys on the floor at one time. I don't know how you only score 3 points, but on Tuesday, they definitely made up for that and scored a massive, massive win against Westlake. So that pretty much wraps up Class 7A with all the movement. Anything you want to know about that, Ramin?
Yeah, I got a few questions for you. You talked about Lowndes' big win, and now they've skyrocketed up to number 6. What was so significant about that win? You know, some people might say it was only a 2-point victory, 60-58. Why do you think it's so big?
Well, if it's a normal week, they might not be able to make it, but since everyone else in the state of Georgia, and Class 7A especially, everyone's cannibalizing each other. You just look, you see all these great teams, Discovery, Grayson, Shiloh, all these good teams, Peachtree Ridge. If you look at their record, they're all sitting at about 14-9, 15-7, you know, even 13-9, something like that. So nothing that really stands out. And Lowndes, when you go down and beat Tift County 60-58, that is a monster win, and that's a rematch. They lost to Tift County 68-73 the first time they played them. So they split in the region series right now in Region 1, and that's as good as a win as it's going to get. But when you're playing in that small little region where you're not seeing typically the type of talent that these Gwinnett County and DeKalb County teams are seeing night in and night out, that means you have a very small window for error. In Tift County, that hurt them. They lost to them, and Lowndes took advantage of that. But Lowndes coming up next week, they're probably not going to be in the poll because they did lose Madison County from Florida 61-46, and that just goes back on the small room for error. You're going to have to be perfect to beat them. And then people will ask me, well, Tift County is just one loss. Well, we look, Tift County didn't blow them out the first time they played. It was a fairly close game. Look, they lost by about 5 points or so. So they're pretty much equal in my eyes. They lost by 5, and then they beat them by 2. Tift and Lowndes, you can kind of interchange them. Tift's other loss came to Monteverde Academy. We know about them. That's a great powerhouse. And Lowndes County, their loss came to Nature Coast Tech out of Brooksville, Florida, a team with a very good record. They're not Mount Verde by any stretch of the imagination. But when you break it down, okay, both teams have a loss to a team from Florida. Both teams beat each other. So it's very difficult to not put Lowndes in there. And Lowndes did lose to Coffee earlier in the season, which is a rough loss when we're looking at the statewide picture. But, I mean, it was just 1 week, and now that loss to Madison County. Sorry, Lowndes fans, that's probably going to knock you out of the poll. But Tift County, don't hang your head. They have a great record. They're, at the end of the day, we know Tift County's going to be the team to beat in Region 1, and they're most likely going to find their way back into the poll. And we got Lambert and Roswell and teams like that that aren't those traditional powerhouses. They're going to play some pretty decent teams down the stretch. We'll see what happens. But if you're Tift County, hey, it's just 1 week. You're going to be back in there sooner rather than later, I would say.
Very interesting things going on over there at the middle part of 7A. And kind of keeping along that theme, you mentioned Wheeler. They're on 15-5 overall. Do you think we're being a bit too hard on them? I mean, they have all the All-American guys, and they had the high expectations. But do you really think they should only be one spot above teams like Lambert and Roswell?
It's a fair question, but when you have that big of a target on your back, and you got 6 guys coming in from all across the state, and you got about 7 or 8 Division I players, the expectation should be the sky. It should be, okay, you should not lose more than probably 2 games this year. And they've kind of struggled in the state of Georgia, whether they're playing against Georgia teams or like we saw at the Peachtree Corners Invitational against a team from North Carolina, but they played in the state of Georgia. They did not look good. They had a lot of talent, and when they get things right, they're going to be rolling. So number 8, that's kind of just, you got to punish them. Yeah, when you expect so much from a team like that, and they're not living up to expectations like I and a lot of the other people. But remember, let's think, they were number 2 in the nation to open up the Max Preps polls. That means this team should be throttling people. I don't want to see you lose by 20 points to Greensboro Day, who is a very tough team. But let's be honest, Greensboro Day is not running out 7 Division I players like Wheeler is. So you have to be punished a little bit. But on Tuesday, I mentioned they beat Westlake 78-63. So, well, that everything goes out the window. They righted the ship, and now they have a huge against Pebblebrook, and that's another opportunity for Wheeler to put their foot down and say, hey, that 20-point loss, forget all about that. We're going to be trending in the right direction. But you never know. Wheeler's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, however you want to put it. They look phenomenal some games, and a couple other games that just look like, wow, how is this not working out for them? So, yes, 1 spot ahead of Lambert, 2 spots ahead of Roswell. My whole thing is, the most talented team is not always the best team, and right now Wheeler is not the best team, but they do have the talent to get there, and we saw they took the first step by beating Westlake a couple days ago.
All right, we'll keep it moving right along down the stat sheet over to Class 6A. What do you have going on over there in those rankings?
Well, Class 6A, we have South Paulding number 1. Later in the show today, you will hear a one-on-one segment with Coach Gil Davis discussing how he has helped bring the Spartans team up to prominence in the state. They survived a wild 96-94 overtime thriller at Douglas County, rallying from down 8 points with about 40 seconds left in a hostile environment. That was a big win. Then they go on the road and beat Tri-Cities, another impressive win. And they followed that up on Tuesday with a nice win against Mays. So South Pullman, they have the resume. Their only loss came to Northcott Christian, number 2 ranked team in Class A private, and they got a revenge beating them in the Lake City Classic championship game. So they avenged their lone loss on the year. So South Pullman's very talented. But Gainesville, I think Gainesville, and they're finally healthy and everything starts cooking, and it's state tournament time. If they can stay focused, Gainesville, they are going to be super tough to beat, 19-1. Heading into this week, they just blew out Habersham Central 82-28, and that's a very good team. They spanked a very good guard play team in the cool of 79-53 recently. Gainesville's very talented. Jonesboro's a little bit of up and down right now. They beat Tucker 66-64 the other week, just on Tuesday, only beat Stevenson, a scrappy guard play team as well that can get after you and can get hot from the three-point line. But they only beat them by four. They're sitting at number three right now with M.J. Walker. They're always going to throw him out there. He's probably going to be the best player on the court 98% of the time. But they got Jamari Smith back, a 6'6 junior. His first two games back, he had 20.7 rebounds and 22.6 rebounds. He's a big lift for them inside, great athlete, plays above the rim. I think he's going to help out a ton moving forward. And if you want to look at the bottom of the poll, not too much changes. Alexander slips to number 10 after they lost to number 4, Langston Hughes, 57-50. And then on Tuesday, Richmond Hill, who was ranked number 5, suffered a tough loss to Glenn Academy, and that's going to hurt them very much in the upcoming rankings.
All right, keep it moving down to the Class 5A and the 4A right there. We have Buford at the top, 17-2, Upson Lee, 20-0. Any big movers in those two classes?
In Class 5A, it's getting interesting. Eagles Landing, number 10, they are starting to leak oil, as I wrote online, starting to struggle a little bit in their region play. They're down to number 10. They just got upset on Tuesday by Jones County, which really hurts them. So now they're sitting at 10-4, and it's a logjam atop of that region. It's going to be tough. Stockbridge debuted at number 7, but they suffered a loss. I believe it was to Dutchtown, who is most likely going to crack the poll this upcoming week. So I'm keeping an eye on those guys. Buford is very talented. They look great as a number 1 team. Cedar Shoals, they're getting the ball rolling as well. They used a 25-0 run to beat Flowery Branch last week, 72-44. Over in Class 4A, it's been madness with Upson Lee and Henry County and all these teams. You know, you're ranked number 2 one week. You're not even ranked the very next week. Upson Lee's been handling their business. They had a scare against Griffin at Griffin, 75-68 in triple overtime. Athletic teams can tend to give Upson Lee some problems, but Ty Fagan, Tyree Scott, Trayvon Walker, a great core leading the way. Henry County is red hot. They beat Salem in a very nip-and-tuck game on Tuesday, and before that, they blew out Eastside. So Henry County, they are getting hot at the right time, and they are playing a lot better defense. Richmond County dropped from number 3 to number 7, a tough 52-31 loss at Baldwin, and that shoots Baldwin back up into the poll at number 6. Cartersville had a tough 15-point loss to LaGrange on Tuesday. That hurts their chances of sticking in the poll. They look like the third-best team in that tough region. And, I mean, they're doing the best they can, but Sandy Creek and LaGrange are just a little better than them right now. So Class 4 is very wild. America Sumter shoots up to number 5 after they throttled Carver Columbus, who was ranked number 6 and now dropped out of the poll. They beat them 76-65. So Class 4A is just crazy. It's very crazy. You can't hang your hat on anything because you never know what team's going to show up. So Class 4A, definitely one to keep an eye on. It's going to be wild heading into the state tournament.
Class 4A sounds like it's going to be fun to watch come mid-February. Over down to Class 3A and 2A, probably some of the, you know, some well-known names out there, some probably smaller schools a lot of people haven't heard of. Give us the breakdown of those two classes.
There was a huge, huge upset in Class 3A that really throws a monkey wrench into everything. We'll talk about that a little later on Tuesday with this result with number 2, Greater Atlanta Christian, losing to East Hall, and that muddies things up now in their region picture. Now they're tied for first place. They got beat pretty handily, about 17 points, so that was a very shocking result. But Joe Dix is a master on the sidelines at East Hall. He's got a young group. He always finds a way to keep those guys playing tough. And we just saw number 3 Liberty County, defending state champs in Class 4A, now down in 3A. They are starting to get healthy and they are starting to roll. They blew out Long County 121-82, which was a revenge game after they lost a 1-point game, I believe, earlier in the season when Davion Mitchell wasn't there. So they knocked Long County out of the poll. Will Richardson had about 38 points in that game. He's been having a phenomenal, phenomenal junior season. He's a high major Division I guy to keep an eye on. Islands drops out of Class 3. I really liked Islands, great guard play. But Justin Cave, the all-time leading scorer, and Trey Broadnax, a very talented sophomore, son of Horace Broadnax, head coach of Savannah State, they lost a bad loss to Southeast Bullock, 77-58. Very shocking. Southeast Bullock was 6-13 at the time. And then Jenkins, insult to injury, Jenkins rises up to number 5 this week. They took it to Island 74-55. If we want to scoot on down to Class 2A, South Atlanta looks like the team to beat. I watched them play at the Peach State Classic over at Clayton State. They look great. They won the championship there, beat Eagles Landing. South Atlanta is a real deal down there. Thomasville, ranked at number 3. They're probably going to take a little slide. They had an upset loss to Bainbridge on Tuesday, which hurt. That crazy region with all these Augusta teams going 4, 5, and 6. Laney Butler and Josie, we'll touch on those a little later. That is just a wild, wild, wild west of a region. These teams keep beating each other in overtime thrillers, packed house all the time in those gyms. And I want to look at number 9, Putnam County. They're probably not going to make a state championship run or anything like that, but 15-5 this year. I believe they were 3-23 last season. Carl Johnson, a senior guard, has already eclipsed over 50 points in the game once this year. He is only about 5'7", 5'8". He's averaging upwards of 25, 26, 27 points a game. He really carries that team. And when they get hot, Putnam County can give some opponents some trouble.
And over to the Class A's, you know, two completely different worlds between Class A private and Class A public. Give us the breakdown.
Class A private, still, I think the team to beat is Green Forest. They're ranked number 1. They lost at the MAPA 46-43 at the Peachtree Corners Invitational, which was a good showing. They played very tough against them. I still don't see anybody in Class A private beating them. But number 2, Northcott Christian, is a very tough team. They barely survived Mount Zion in a classic on Tuesday, 83-81. Demir Brown is a legitimate superstar scorer. He is averaging well over 25 points a game. He is just a bowling ball at about 6'5", 6'6", physical, can post you up, left-handed, does a lot of powerful things inside. He can punish you on the block. He can shoot the three. If Northcott Christian feels like winning the state title this year, they're going to have to ride him, but they're going to have to get a lot of help from the Hunter Normans, the Will Crumleys, the Miles Hamiltons, Mo Merritt. People like that are going to have to step up around him. And if we want to take a gander over at Class A Public, Calhoun County, they took care of number 2 Quitman on Tuesday, double-digit win for them, so that really cements them atop the poll right now. Taylor County was hammered by Macon County 62-35 last week, so that dropped Taylor County from number 3 to number 8. That shot Macon County up to number 7, and Macon County had a really good week. They had 3 ranked wins, beat Irwin County 79-76, beat Central Cal Bottom 58-51, and then at Taylor, a blowout victory. But I would caution people to keep an eye on Turner County. They shot up from number 10 to number 4. They beat Crisp County 63-55, Irwin 74-68, and then Clinch County, who slides to number 10. They beat them 76-74 last week. So a lot of fun moving around in Class A public. You never know what you're going to get with those teams, but you know they're going to play very hard.
All right, that should covered all 8 classes, I think, of boys basketball. You also do rankings for girls. They're released on Mondays, and we'll take a quick look at those. I know as I've been monitoring the polls for the girls' rankings, they've stayed relatively constant. Not as much shifting as the boys, not a lot of upsets. What are some big movements across all of GHSA basketball going on in the girls' rankings this week?
Yeah, you're right about that. Usually it's pretty much said and done. You know, the top teams are usually going to handle their business. But even in Class 7A, we saw Brookwood move from number 8 to number 5. They beat Mill Creek and dropped Mill Creek from number 4 to number 7. They beat them 54-47, and then Brookwood survived a very tough South Carolina team, 43-36 in overtime. Lambert moves up from number 9 to number 6. They have played very well this year. They beat North Forsyth 39-37. Tiff County drops from the poll. They are replaced by that Region 1 foe of theirs, Colquitt County, who had a very nice week. Last week, beat Lowndes at Lowndes in double overtime, 78-71. One on the road at Camden County, 53-36. So they are back in the poll. Marietta is back in the poll at number 9. Newton slides from number 5 to number 10 with a loss to South Burnett and then a loss to Fayette County at the MLK Classic. So that was some interesting shuffling around. Number 7, Westlake, also dropped out after a 50-49 loss to North Clayton. Moving on to Class 6A, Harrison looks like the team to beat still. They beat River Ridge 66-49 last week. Douglas County moved down 2 spots after a 50-46 surprising loss to Columbia. Northview Titans up to number 6. Coach Chris Yarbrough They just tied their school record in wins on Wednesday, so they are one away from setting a new school record. They have played very well. Mays is back in the poll at number 9. They are starting to get things going. Number 10, Gainesville, another talented team. If we want to slip on down to Class 5A, Buford has been great. Their only loss was to Class A private number 1, St. Francis, 53-45. They took care of Flowery Branch again on Tuesday. Tough pill to swallow in Region 8 for Flowery Branch. You just can't seem to find a way to knock off the Wolves. Looking elsewhere, Billericay and Carrollton had a showdown on Tuesday, which resulted in Carrollton beating Billericay for the second time. Class 4A, we saw North Oconee lose to Jefferson on Tuesday, and that means there will be a new number 1 in Class 4A, so that is something to look forward to. Over in 3A, Beach and Johnson, they have a monster of a rubber match coming up on Friday. Johnson hosts Beach. Johnson won the first match at 45-42, then lost in overtime at the Savannah Memorial Health Classic 62-56 to Beach. So those two teams are definitely the front runners in Class 3A. 2A, Laney has just been rolling teams. Aisha Benjamin is a complete stud. They have some major talent around her as well. I really like Dodge County, though, coming in at the number 2 slot. They have been taking care of business at a high clip. Over in Class A private, we have a new number 1. That would be St. Francis, who jumps over Holy Innocents. St. Francis, we just talked about them beating Buford by 8 points. Holy Innocents beat GAC, who was ranked number 3 in Class 3A. They beat them by 16, but I think St. Francis is a real deal. They haven't lost a game yet in the state of Georgia. They've lost all their games to top-notch programs across the nation. And then in Class A public, Pelham definitely hands down. If I had to lock in a state championship winner, or who I'm most confident in, I am very confident in the Pelham Hornets in 1A public. They smacked down Terrell County 70-19, and Terrell was state runner-up last year. So Pelham comes down from 2A last year, and they don't have to worry about any of these Class A private schools or any just private schools in general that used to knock them out in the Final Four in the Elite Eight. So Pelham has a lot of steam down there in Class A public.
All right. Thank you. That was a good comprehensive wrap-up of all of our boys and girls team who have made the rankings in the state of Georgia. Lots of good basketball as we head down the stretch here. We'll throw over to some games. Game nights are usually Tuesdays in Georgia. Had some Wednesday games for makeups or other reasons. I know you wanted to start covering some. We mentioned some earlier, so give us your top games from this past Tuesday.
Yes, I'll try and run them down pretty quick. I mentioned number 1, Newton in Class 7A, beat Grayson 91-65. Ashton Hagins, who's going to end up at an ACC school or SEC school, summer high major like that. He had 15 points, 11 assists, 4 rebounds. J.D. Note, who is going to Jacksonville, had 27 points in the win. And then Isaiah Miller, who moved in from Eastside, has been the missing piece of the puzzle. One of the hottest prospects in Georgia right now, had 17 points and 8 rebounds. Number 3, Pebblebrook, they beat Campbell. Campbell always plays these behemoths and great teams super, super close, but they ran out of gas 104-88 on his senior night. Colin Sexton, who was going to Alabama, dropped in 53 points. So that's a lot of scoring from Colin Sexton. He'll have to try and recreate that tonight when they play Wheeler. Looking elsewhere, Wheeler 78-63 over Westlake, who was ranked number 5. So Wheeler, if they survive Pebblebrook, that means Wheeler is in line for a major move to the top of the rankings. They raced out to a 31-10 lead in the first quarter after they only scored 3 points against Greensboro Day in the first quarter. So they showed, hey, we can score the ball. Put up 31 on Westlake in the first quarter. Darius Perry had 23 points on the night, so they ended up beating them by 15. Sliding down into Class 6A, South Paulding 72, Mays 61. Ja'Cory Wilson, one of the top unsigned seniors in the state, a 6'7 lefty that plays on the wing, not on the block, had 19 points and 13 rebounds. Well, Kane Williams going to Georgia State, 21 points and 12 rebounds. Jonesboro, I mentioned that 4-point win over Stevenson, 58-54. MJ Walker, 25.7 rebounds, 4 assists. Jalen Terrell going to Navy, had 11 points. Alpharetta, number 6, beat Chattahoochee, 56-54. Brandon Barron is a very talented sophomore that transferred in from Westlake. He had 14 points to lead the way. And then looking at Class 5A, number 1, Buford, took care of Flowery Branch 74-61. Alex Jones, one of the best passing point guards in the state, if not the best. He doesn't have that, you know, that prototypical size. He's about 5'11 or so, but he had 37 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. He's usually in the double digits in assists. He's really been the guy that makes that team go. If we want to look at Thomasville over in Class 2A, they lost to 5A Bainbridge 62-45. Thomasville, the team that I want them to do better when you have a 6'10 sophomore in Titus Wright and a 6'9 power forward going to Arkansas who's a junior, and Reggie Perry, you got to be better against these teams that you have more talent than on paper. Reggie Perry was up just 12 points in that loss to Bainbridge, who Bainbridge has been under 500 this year. They've kind of been trying to pick up the pieces after losing Tyree Crump to the University of Georgia. And Class 4A, just two quick results there, was Henry County, number 2 ranked Henry County, beating number 10 Salem 55-52. Javon Green, who's going to George Mason, 17 points. Damian Rosser had 12 points. Brandon Smith led Salem with 19. And then number 3, LaGrange, beat number 8 Cartersville 67-52. But Perrion Perry was 15 points in that game. And then the final big the big outcome I want to talk about, two more actually. East Hall beat number 2 Greater Atlanta Christian in 3A play 74-57. Luke Cooper, when he gets hot, he can hurt you from deep. He had 24 points. Cedrion Morse had 17, and Makai Brown had 16. So that was a surprising victory by a wide margin. I could see East Hall giving them fits in a close game, but blowing them out by 17, that was surprising. And then in Class 2A, number 4 Laney 67, number 5 Butler 64 in overtime. Donald Henley Jr. with 25 points to lead the Wildcats. Butler got 15 points from Will Lambert and DeAndre Barton in the loss. And I'll just run down really quick some girls' games. Lambert, big win over West Forsyth, 58-35. Number 3, Lovejoy in Class 6A, beat number 7, Tucker, 42-37. Amber Thornton with 15 points, and Genesis Bryant, a freshman guard, had 13 points for Lovejoy. I mentioned number 1, Buford, beating number 2, Flowery Branch, 51-46. Nia Worth with 16 points and 17 rebounds in the loss, just not enough to beat the Wolves. And then in that same classification, number 6, Carrollton, 58, and number 8, Villarica, 52. De'Asia Merrill, 23 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, but again, not enough to top the Trojans. So quick rundown of a lot of good action. You can read all that stuff on sandysteel.com on my nightly recaps, which usually post on Tuesday nights. So that's just a quick rundown of some of the top outcomes across the state of Georgia.
Very interesting stuff, and as you saw, a lot of ranked teams playing. So earlier we touched on a few topics I want to ask you a bit more in depth about. In Class 7A men's basketball, 7 teams lost. And so how do you go about fixing the rankings when 7 of the ranked teams lost?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's difficult. I mentioned that earlier, the cannibalization. A lot of good teams probably could be in that ranking. They might be more talented than the teams that are ranked at the bottom of the poll, but if you're only sitting at, you know, 3 games above 500, yeah, you might be better, but you don't. There's just not enough there to say I can surely assure you that they are better than Lambert or Roswell. It's tough because they've been beating each other's brains out, so no one's coming away with a great record. Like last year, everyone finishing with over 20 wins. I feel like we're not going to have that many 21 teams. A lot of teams are probably going to finish without 18 or 19 wins just because the state has been so competitive, so much parity across the state this year. The number 9 Lambert, they have experience being ranked. It's their first time being ranked. This year, they beat Milton 77-72, so they were able to survive. Duke commit Alex O'Connell, who had a big game. Lambert, it took them a while to be ranked when you lose Ross Morkum to North Georgia and then Connor Manning to Navy. Those are two talented post players that did a lot for them. So Lambert's kind of moved to a more guard-oriented team. Scott Bracco does a great job. He suits up about 20 kids, and they are always competitive, and they always win these games. They just have a winning culture, and that goes a long way. And then number 10, Roswell, was the biggest surprise. They've been running the table over in Region 4, I believe it is. They've been taking care of business. Woodstock, I thought, was supposed to run away with that region, but it hasn't quite worked out for them yet. Roswell, Miles Heron is a very talented sophomore guard, and then James Anderson brings them some length, a senior who is second on the team in scoring. So it's not easy ranking these 7A teams. I'm sure there's going to be a ton more shuffling around on Sunday, but I'm trying the best I can You got to sometimes punish those teams that should be a lot better than they're playing right now. But, hey, I'm talking to you, Wheeler. Wheeler, they listened to me. They took care of Westlake, and they got another big game. They have a clean finish this week off clean. They are going to shoot right back up into the rankings, very high in the rankings where they want to be heading into the region tournament.
You know, you talked about the parity that there is in 17, how many good teams there are. We talked earlier in the recaps about Wheeler beating a Grayson team who's not even ranked but is competitive. There's Decula in there, all these teams that are in 7A that aren't even ranked. So what do you, when you're ranking teams, would you say that a higher ranked team would beat a lower ranked team in a matchup?
That is another solid question. Not necessarily. I mean, you got to play the game with the rankings sometimes. Do I think Lowndes would beat Wheeler? I do not think Lowndes would beat Wheeler, per se. I think Wheeler has a lot more talent, and I think Wheeler would probably beat them, I would hope, 9 times out of 10. But it's just the ebbs and flow of the rankings. If you're going to lose all these games, you're going to have to drop some spots eventually. We look at Westlake, who I think they have about 9 losses now, but they're still in the top 10. A lot of those losses were out of state into really good competition, but it's just posturing right now with the rankings. They don't really mean much. It'll matter when we come to a state championship in the final rankings, maybe, but even then, it doesn't really matter. No one's hanging up banners for finishing ranked number one in the regular season. They hang up banners for winning state titles, so it doesn't really mean that much. Do I think some of these teams could beat some of the other teams that are ranked ahead of them? I mean, we'll see what happens. When the players get put on the court and the team suit up and the ball is tipped off, that's all that really matters. Rankings don't mean that much.
At least you'd hope no one would be putting up banners for finishing number one, ranked number one in the regular season. But you never know with some of these teams. You never know.
You're right about that.
So we're talking about the lots of competition. You know, we have Class A all the way up to Class 7A, private and public. But being Class A does not necessarily mean you have a bad team, does it?
No, it shouldn't. In Class A private, it definitely doesn't mean that much. In Class A public, it's really tough. I think they're good teams down there. Now, do I think a number one Calhoun County could beat a Westside Macon? To be honest, I haven't seen Calhoun County play. I know they have Rashawn Williams, a 6'6 forward guard who is going to get some high major looks, I'm sure, by the time he's all done and through with playing. It's just difficult because they have those smaller pools to pull from. I mean, Wilkinson County, who sits at number 5 right now, they're a traditional powerhouse. They won the state championship last year. They play in a good region. I believe it's Region 7 with all these teams that are ranked, and they play a lot of Class A private schools, so that's really tough to really match them up. But that really helps those public schools come state tournament time, because instead of playing these public schools with 200 kids, you're playing these private schools that are able to pull kids from all over the state. And I think that bodes well, and I think that what really helps out Wilkinson County come state tournament time. So Wilkinson County sitting at number 5 in Class A public right now, but I feel like once we come to the state tournament, Wilkinson County is going to have a say at who hoists the state championship trophy, because they have that winning pedigree, and playing a great schedule is going to prepare them for another run of the title.
Having said all that, do you think it's fair to make comparisons, making a overall state rankings outside of class? A lot of these teams, you know, don't play each other outside of class except for in these, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas tournaments. Do you think it's fair to try to assess kind of off the fly of your pants, you know, this team from 6A could beat this team from 4A and so on?
I think that's just way, way too difficult. It's fun. It's nice. It's fun to put that out there. But does it hold any water? It's too much going on, too many moving parts. I mean, those literally would change each and every night because all these teams beat each other. I flirted with putting something out, but I just know that it's more of a headache than anything because you never know. I mean, you throw these teams out, yeah, Green Force could be the best team this week, but then the very next week it might be Wheeler who's the best team, and then the next week it might be Westlake who's the best team, and then who knows, Gainesville could be the best team in the state. So it's just too difficult to really put that all together. It doesn't really mean much if these teams never even see each other. So, oh man, I wonder what Upson Lee would have done against McEachern. Well, we're never going to find out. They never played each other. So, I mean, it's fun to do, but again, does it really mean too much? Should you hang your hat on having a ranking higher than somebody else in the top 25 of the entire state? It just it doesn't really matter. I leave that to Max Preps, the expert polls on the top 25 when they do their top 25, not their computer polls for the state of Georgia. I don't trust those. But when they do their top 25, usually they have a good idea of what's going on in each state.
Now we're going to head over. I'm looking at the schedule for Friday. That's another Friday and Saturday. Some more typical basketball nights in Georgia and lots of ranked teams playing each other. What do you have coming up?
Yeah, so I'll just give you a quick little rundown on Friday and Saturday. We'll start with the boys. On Friday, number 5 Columbia is at number 6 Miller Grove. That's their first meeting this year. Those two teams are going to be battling for a region supremacy. First place in the region, probably going to be up for grabs eventually. Miller Grove might have a surprise coming for Columbia. They might be getting some help from the cavalry. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. If so, it would be great to see this certain player on the court healthy. That would be a major boon, a major help for the Wolverines moving down the stretch. Then over in Class 4A, number 4 Sandy Creek at number 8 Cartersville. Cartersville just lost to LaGrange. Now Cartersville is going to have to try and get their footing back and take care of Sandy Creek, who Sandy Creek beat them 86-80 in their first matchup over in a tough region. And then we mentioned number 10 Alexander at number 1 South Paulding in Region 5 of Class 6A. That should be a fun matchup. You can listen later on in the podcast about Coach Gil Davis. He has a connection with Alexander head coach Jason Slate, so that should be fun to take a look at. And then over on Saturday, number 3 LaGrange at number 4 Sandy Creek. There it is again. I believe that's Region 5. That's just the logjam between Sandy Creek, LaGrange, and Cartersville. And right now LaGrange is the team to beat, but we'll see how they hold up. They have a tough week ahead. They already beat Cartersville, but this game at number 4 Sandy Creek, that should be very telling because Sandy Creek has a lot of athletes, a lot of length, a lot of kids that can shoot the ball. That should be a fun one. Elsewhere on Saturday, Brunswick against number 3 Liberty County at Liberty County. Brunswick won the first time they played, 67-62, but that was without Davion Mitchell for the Panthers, so things could be a little different now than over in Class 1A, we have 1A Private, number 6, Holy Innocents, at 3A, number 4, Pace Academy. Holy Innocents, they've seen those guys a ton of times throughout the years. They should be able to throw the kitchen sink at Wendell Carter and Isaiah Kelly, but I would have to say Pace, they're going to be the favorite in this one. And then a great one in Class A Private as well, number 3, Southwest Atlanta Christian, at number 1, Green Forest. Southwest Atlanta Christian doesn't quite have the 7-foot size that Green Forest has, but they do have the athletes, and they do have DeAndre Ballard, 6'6", forward going to Florida. And then if you want to look at girls' side really quick on Friday, number 2, Holy Innocents at number 3, Wesleyan. That is a region matchup in Class A Private. Holy Innocents beat them the first time on January 5th, 61-54. Number 5, Vidalia at number 7, Bryan County. Over in, that looks like Class 2A, Vidalia won 53-45 in their first meeting back in mid-December. Number 8, Stevenson at number 7, Tucker in Class 6A. Stevenson won that first one, 53-50. Tift County will try and get back into the polls on the girls' side at number 8, Colquitt County. Tift won the first match in overtime, 56-53, up in North Georgia in Class 4A. Number 5, Northwest Whitfield at number 7, Heritage Catoosa. Northwest Whitfield won that first one, 57-47 on December 16th. And then a good one in the lower classifications, we have number 2, Dodge County in Class 2A at number 2, Telfair County. That was Dodge County's only loss of the season, actually, back in late November. They fell to Telfair 66-64, so that should be a really good matchup right there. So I would keep an eye on those. And then on Saturday, just quick rundown again. Number 3, Wesleyan at number 1, Buford. That is a great one. Number 1, Harrison at number 1, St. Francis. That is a phenomenal one. Number 2, Flowery Branch at number 3, GAC. That is an excellent matchup. Then number 4, Mays at number 9, Mays at number 4, Douglas County. And then number 4, Wheeler County at number 3, Woodville Tompkins in Class A Public, their first meeting in Region 3. So those are some great matchups literally all across the state of Georgia. If you want to go see some good basketball, either boys or girls, you have tons and tons of options. So go check it out. There's a lot of good stuff happening this weekend.
Indeed, there is lots of good action happening, and as we get closer and closer towards region tournament and state tournament time, it's only going to get better.
You're right about that, and I just want to say I've had a lot of fun with you today, Ramin. This is probably going to wrap up our first podcast, episode one of Stealing and Dealing, but don't hang up the phone just yet. Do not push stop on your podcast, because we have a one-on-one segment coming up next. I teased it with head coach Gil Davis of South Paulding Spartans. You're not going to want to miss it. That is a fun feature that we are going to do each and every week on Stealing and Dealing. You can expect the podcast out on Thursdays. Ramin, you are the man. I appreciate you for being my master producer and moderator, and I am looking forward to doing this the rest of the season, sir.
It's only going to get more exciting from here. Thank you for having me on, Kyle, and we'll wrap it up. It's been a pleasure being with y'all. Ramin Fergani signing off here.
See you next time. Step onto the hardwood. It's time for some one-on-one. Each week, we will have an exclusive interview with a prominent coach or player. This week, we welcome Class 6A, number one ranked South Paulding head coach, Gil Davis. Davis is now in year five at the helm and currently is the school's all-time winningest coach, recently celebrating his 100th win with the Spartans. Coach Davis, how are you, sir? Thank you for coming on.
I'm doing great, Kyle. I appreciate you having me, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I'm going to hit you with a couple questions here, some one-on-one, letting people know across the state of Georgia what's going on over at South Paulding. So let's start off with an easy one. How has the journey been overseeing a young program into becoming a state championship contender?
It's been a blessing, Kyle. I've been here since the start 11 years ago, and you know, to see it come where it is now from where it was before is just been real, just a great blessing, a humbling experience. You know, when I took over, they'd won 42 games in 6 years, and we've been blessed enough to get up to about 111 wins in the last four and a half seasons. So it's been a lot of hard work. It's been a really fun journey, though. These kids have really worked their tails off and deserve everything they've gotten.
And even with having the number one ranking, how do you guys keep your team focused in the difficult Region 5? I know there's a lot of great athletic teams, a lot of talented teams over there. How do you keep everybody focused?
Just try to explain to them that nobody's ever won a region championship, state championship, or whatever our goals are in January. It's a blessing, and it's great to be recognized. But at the end of the day, nobody's ever done anything that mattered in high school basketball in the month of January. So you got to stay hungry. You got to continue to grow, and you got to try to get to the point where we're playing the way we want to be playing when the middle of February and March come. So just really focusing on, you know, not being satisfied, not being complacent. What do we have to do to get better? And just, you know, just taking the steps that we have to take daily to get to those spots.
And then you have a very important region game coming up on Friday. You host number 10 Alexander, and you have a relationship with Coach Jason Slate over there, Alexander. Could you just let everybody know how you are intertwined within your careers and everything like that?
Well, I first started for Tim Criswell out of Carrollton, and Jason Slate had a similar start. His first job was for Carrollton, so Tim Criswell kind of hooked Coach Slate and I up, and then I ended up going to Lithia Springs and worked for Jason for a short time when we made the Elite Eight and had some good teams. He's a great guy. He's a great coach. He's a great friend. It's going to be a tough one Friday. Like you mentioned, this region is a grind. Every night is not easy, and Alexander is definitely no exception. It's going to be tough, but it's, you know, it's nice. We talk almost every night, me and Slate, and he was joking too. They said, "Hey, man, I've helped you every game, but don't ask me about any help on Friday's game. You'll have to figure that one out yourself." So he's a great dude, and it's going to be a great battle Friday.
And how important has your senior class been, considering when you guys are all healthy and everything's clicking? You usually like to start five seniors. They have to be just so important to you guys.
I mean, this senior class is huge for us. You know, obviously you start with Kane and Ja'Cory, you know, as far as the things they do for us, but just the role guys. I mean, DJ Jackson, Drew Shepard, Parker Berry, Jordan Burge. I mean, even James Bryan has came in here lately and gave us some really big minutes. So, you know, we play seven seniors out of a group of probably 11 that we play that are massive pieces to what we have to do to be successful. Great kids. and taking this program where it's at through a lot of hard work and, you know, just fighting for each other and playing together year-round, just really just focusing on their games, not only as individuals but as a group.
Coach, I just want to thank you for being the first guest on one-on-one on Spieling and Dealing, the Georgia High School Basketball Podcast. Thank you again for coming on. I wish you great luck throughout the rest of the season. It's been a pleasure watching your team play this year, and I hope for good things for you to come soon.
I appreciate the kind words, Kyle, and you having me, and appreciate all you do for high school athletics. The state is blessed to have you, so I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.